Accession number 29070, Reel 3.
Flight Lieutenant Johnson, Reel 3. You were saying it was the bomb aimer who decided when to...
Yes, the bomb aimer in those days, in a twin-engine aircraft, was a navigator.
So he had a dual
in
role.
The four-engine, they had a separate bomb aimer.
Mm.
And the navigator, then bomb aimer, is looking down through his aiming machinery and telling the skipper, left, left, or keep it level, steady, all that sort of thing. And then when he's right, when he thinks he's got it right, he just presses the button and down she went. Later on, in the four-engine stuff, when they've got more efficient machinery,
Oboe
and H2S and that sort of thing helped tremendously in those,
yeah,
in the more accurate bombing. But from what I could see, if you're bombing a city and it's on fire, as long as you've got over it, pretty well over the middle of it, and push the button, I think in those days, you know, earlier on, that was it.
Now, you think you had a rather adventurous journey back from Cologne.
Oh, yes.
When you got lost and were over.
We got lost through this...
When you finally got back to Morton in the Marsh, what happened to you there after the operation?
Well, they were pleased to see us back, for a start off. And, of course, they asked us what happened. And the skipper and the navigator really related, and the rear gunner.
Yeah.
All had to give their version of it. And I believe it was recorded, as far as I know.
So it was a debrief after
the... three of them were debriefed. Mm. Oh, we were debriefed. I was on the first debriefing, but they took them on one side to say what the heck did happen.
What happened during a debrief? What would the procedure be?
Oh, they just asked you, what you know, can you tell us why you... got into this state, and they had to report that due to evasive action we lost our way. I think that was amazing. I wasn't there when they took them on one side.
But when you were on a standard debrief, if you've been on an ordinary operation, what sort of things would they ask you at the debriefing?
Oh, well, of course, they did separate, or at least they'd say, as the gunners, will you give us your ideas, and as a navigator, and I said, and you related just what's gone on. As I say, we missed out the bits where I had to go and help the rear gunner or anything like that. It was not acceptable, so let's put it like that. Debriefers were very good, but they and they wanted to know a lot because it helped other raids. It's more or less like you're sitting there, like you're asking me questions. Very similar. What happened there and what happened there? As I say, we had a very good crew, very good navigator. Not a lot happened to us over Germany, anyway. I did fly in the Middle East, and that which was much more, funny enough, haphazard than here. Debriefing wasn't as strenuous as you might expect. The only thing that is wrong with debriefing, really, was that you were tired.
I was going to ask when it happened. Did it happen as soon as you got back, usually?
You were pretty flogged out. Once you stepped out of the aircraft, it seemed to hit you, and you were tired, and you went off, and then you had this hassle of being... That particular raid, there was only, as I say, three crews. When you on a squadron, there were 8, 10 crews, all packed in, all in separate tables or something like that, being interviewed. in some cases, there were not enough interviewers, if you like to say, to go around. You had to wait until they'd finished with one crew and they come off with a teal hat, and they were writing all the time, I think. But they conditions were very much in their minds. Atmosphere, cloud cover, and all that, which would obliterate your bombing, or impede on your bombing, shall I say. And then, of course, I'm sure you'll appreciate, we all want to go to bed as quick as we can, so we go and have a meal and then go to bed. The only thing that was distressing, which I found the most distressing thing in the war, was they woke up in the morning, or at least midday, and the beds were empty. And the police had come in collecting all the fellas' kit, and you knew that they weren't coming back. That was particularly if you've been playing cards or something like that the night before and so forth. Yes, I found that distressing. Yeah, I did.
Presumably some of them would have been shot down, bailed out and taken prisoner. Did you ever hear about that, or did you just...
Oh yes, there's some of the chaps, yes. There's some fellas used to love to... We heard about them not coming back, yes. Oh, right. Yes, we did get notification. Well, they were there. You know, they were in... I have known crews to get back afterwards.
Yes.
When they thought, when everything had been... Well, they're not coming back, but they have. Mm. They've been plugging around Europe, having a tour, I should think. For instance... When at the end of my tour here from 78 Squadron, we'd been shot up very badly. In fact, I'd lost the top of my turret. I'd watched two guns go down into Paris. It was the daylight. And we got 175 holes in us, and five you could walk through. So we were a little bit, and we'd lost one engine, we lost two, but the engineer got one going on the way back. There was petrol streaming out of us. Anyway, we got back, and but I just lost my train of what I was going to say. Damn.
You're talking about getting back from dodgy raids.
Yes, I was coming back. Oh, I was going to talk about the engineer. Now, the engineer, the crew, that last op we did, there was the navigator, the skipper, myself, and the rear gunner had done a third tour. So they took us off. So the rest of them had to find other crews. Mm. Now, the engineer... was in a crew, and he was on his last off. And he got back to they got back to the aerodrome and were asked to go round again. And on the way round, they crashed. Oh. And they were all killed.
What, they were doing a second circuit?
On the circuit, to land. And it was his last...
That was bad luck.
Sure was. Oh. Bob... Scots boy. He's in Bob Barron. He's in the book of... What's it in York Cathedral. Mm-hmm. But that was the last, and we, of course, we weren't there. I was instructing at Mortley Marsh.
Mm-hmm. So I knocked it off.
You turned your microphone off, but it's back on. It's okay, it will come through mine.
Oh.
Right. So you,
as long as you're satisfied.
Yeah. So you got back, you'd be debriefed, and then you'd have a meal, and then you'd sleep, And then
we went down to the CO the next day, and the three of us were told that we, I say three or four of us, were told that we were finished. Yeah. We were dispersed then. Mm. I ended up as gunnery instructor at Master Moore.
Right.
Crashed there, and I was put in hospital for nearly 4 months with my legs. I came back and was made assistant adjutant at Full Sutton. After I actually went to Linton on crutches, but then they gave me this job over there. I didn't do anything at Linton really, just sat around.
Now, you were saying that you were in the 1000 bomber raid.
Yes.
For you it was a sort of training. And then, what happened after that? Did you carry on the training at Moreton in Marsh after the bomber raid?
Yes, we finished our training.
And then?
I think it was about 2 weeks.
Yes.
And we went down to what's the name of the place on the south coast? 25 brand new Wellington aircraft, and I set off to go to Malta.
As soon as you'd finished training, you were posted to the Mediterranean.
That was before, by the way, I came back to fly over Germany.
Yes.
We went through Gibraltar. Mm-hmm. We were chased in the Bay of Biscay by what they call Rada float planes of Germans. We only had two guns in the rear. The front guns were sealed off because they'd modified them to carry these torpedoes. So I was doing nothing. I just sat in the air. Anyway, we got away with that. We got to Gibraltar. We stayed there. And then we were briefed to go on to Lagos on the West African coast. The first three aircraft to take off from Gibraltar went into the sea.
Why was that?
Because the runway was not long enough. Anyway, what happened with us, we taxied out and they were making the runway longer, but they'd got trestles across. And they said, "Johnny, get out and move those trestles." And I moved the trestles and we went on this rough concrete they hadn't put finishing touch on for about another 100 yards, 200 yards. Turn round, and we actually touched the water with a tail end, but we got off, and away we went. They had briefed us that if we were in trouble, we go into a place called off the West African coast was an aerodrome, and there was an American aerodrome. Don't go into the British aerodrome if anything happens. Go into the American one, you'll be treated better. And lo and behold, we had an engine go. And we went into the American drome and we were treated like lords. We had lovely beds, we had lovely food, and we were there 5 days whilst they brought an engine in and replaced the engine. We took off then and went to Freetown.
Sierra Leone?
On the West African coast. On the way there, we had a nice little incident, which I think is worth recording. We spotted a German submarine. And we hadn't anything to bomb it with, but we dropped some smoke floats. And we shouldn't have broke wireless, but we broke wireless, and evidently a corvette was nearby and actually sunk the submarine, went across, because we found that out when we got to Cairo. And they said, "Oh, you did a good job, you know." Anyway, at Freetown, quite a few of us got malaria. I got malaria. When we reached Cairo, I was put in hospital with the others. About six others, I think it was, or five others. Six with myself, I think. The rest of them went on to Malta. Now, 25 with five in each. It's what? 125. 50 of them were gunners, if you think about it. Two in an aircraft. I trained with most of those chaps. In 28 days, there was only two left. They were all killed in mortar. Bombed out, blown out, and they were carrying torpedoes against the German shipping. Absolute sitting ducks. And they were, I missed it. That's the luck of the game, okay? I was then in a transit camp at Al Marsa.
What impression did you get of Egypt then when you were there? What impression did you get of Egypt when you were in Cairo and you were in
Al Marsa? Well, we had a good time, actually. I was waiting, you know, they just put me in this transit camp with the others. And we went round Cairo and we ate and drank and I went and saw the pyramids and I sat on camels and I'd pictures taken, I think, of... I lost my picture book of all this right the way through. I'll tell you about that later on. But I was then called up as a spare gunner to two squadrons, 302 and 314. When his gunners were sick or been killed or anything like that, I was replacing them. And I did 34 ops in that time.
All the different crews?
These two crews. Well, there were different crews, but different squadrons. Mm. But I was with 314. 3 days after El Alamein, I was shot down. Mm. And we were on fire. Skipper took it. There was an area of war where we were pushing, the British were pushing, the Allies were pushing the Germans back. We were taking anti-personnel bombs. They had to get down to about 2,000 feet and drop it on the German lines. And we got hit by the Akak. We went on fire. He took it away from the area where the fighting was into the desert because we didn't want to get captured and imprisoned, if you like. I don't know whether they would have done. I think they were in too big a hurry to get out. Anyway, we crashed. As we crashed, the aircraft broke in two, and I was in the rear turret. I was left behind. The rest of them went on for about probably a quarter of a mile. Anyway, bounced through all the sand going everywhere. Blew up, all killed, and I was the survivor.
You were lucky again.
Yes. My luck was in. Oh, all together. I decided I'd got to get back. So at night, I waited till night. I started to walk, and I walked all that night and part of the next day. And the afternoon of the next day, I met a half track being driven by the Green Howards chasing the Germans. I had a Vary pistol. I always used to keep a Vary pistol in my turret. I don't know why. Just one of these silly, idiotic things. I always thought, well, if I went down in the sea, I could poop this off and somebody might find me. Anyway, I pooped this thing off. And they saw it. They came across. They picked me up. Took me back. They took me back to a place called LG224. I was then transferred to the Suez, where the aerodrome was, Akia, I think it was. And I was back flying again in 3 days. I was operating again.
How did you know which way to walk? How could you...
Well, the Germans were going that way because the war was going that way because we'd been on... It was after El Alamein. It was 3 days after El Alamein.
When you crashed, how did you know which way was the right way to start moving?
Well, not really, but it came out and we crashed actually going out like that.
Right.
But you could hear and see gunfire and things like that.
So you're walking away from the guns.
So I walked away from the well, no, the Germans were quiet. Mm. It was the Allies that were firing like mad and trying to drive. Well, they drove them out of the desert altogether, didn't they? And I just thought, well, you know, Cairo's that way somewhere. Because you weren't all that far off Cairo. It's only about 50 miles. And I thought, well, that's the way to go.
And it was a bit rough. It was a bit awkward. I hoped I was going in the right way, and I was.
Did you have any water with you or food?
Pardon?
Did you have any water?
Well, that was a fortunate thing. Funnily enough, I went back to the crash. I mean, it was just gone. But I found a water bottle, and I had my own water bottle, so I had two. Mm. And I really didn't need them. I did use some of them, one of them, because I got picked up. And fortunate again, you see. Well, off I went, and I picked up a crew, which had... I picked up... When I got out there, because I went in hospital, I lost my crew, OK? But evidently, much I didn't know, but these two, the navigator and the pilot, had not gone to Malta. How they got out of it, don't ask me. I don't know. Anyway, they were in the transit camp. They were picked up. They got an aircraft, a damned old aircraft, which were old Wellington, and took me and another wireless operator and another gunner. We went to India. We flew out and landed. We had the wing stripped of its fabrication, and we landed at outside Baghdad.
Habania?
Yes, got it. And we had an incident there, which was interesting, I think. When we got there, we hadn't seen any alcohol for 2 or 3 months, actually. Oh, a great place. Got bars and everything in this place. It's, in fact, I went down to Baghdad. Horrible place. waiting for this to be repaired. Anyway, that night we went there, we all went down to the bar, and there were two Russian pilots in there. And we were talking to them, or trying to, and we got them to have some drinks, which we shouldn't have done. We didn't know that. Anyway, what happened? They got pretty high, and we all got high. Next morning, I know I was shaving. We were tannoyed to go and see the adjutant. We went down to see the adjutant, and he said, well, we know you had some drinks and things last night and enjoyed yourselves, but you had two Russian boys there. Yeah. Well, he said, I have to tell you, they were shot this morning. They were not allowed to drink on duty. The Russians took them out and shot them. Never have I ever forgot that. It stuck with me for years. I'd like to have gone and shot the damn Russians. Anyway, they were picking up Kitty Hawks from the Americans and flying them round the back.
Right.
For reinforcements for themselves. Anyway, we left there and we went to Bombay.
Now, this was after you'd been in the Middle East. How long were you actually based in Egypt?
About 8 months.
8 months.
I think it was about eight months. 8 or 9 months.
You mentioned the mission you did just after Al Alamein, when you were flying at 2,000 feet and very low. What sort of targets were you attacking on that?
Well, it was the army. The Germans were even walking. And transport and so forth like that. We had 250 pounders on board as well.
Right.
But we were dropping at that particular time. We'd come down fairly low to drop these anti-personnel things.
So
we had a lot of those on board, and it was just causing nuisance to them below.
And you were rear gunner on that aircraft.
I was rear gunner at that one.
How did that compare with being front gunner?
I don't know, really. I think I had to be a bit more observant, more aware that because you could be attacked from the back.
Mm.
The Germans were still flying the fighter aircraft and the buggers who made the noise.
Stukas?
Stukas. Mm. And they were using those as fighters.
Weren't they rather slow to be fighting?
Oh, yes. But they got cannons.
Oh.
And they were, we only got machine guns. Mm. It was a bit naughty. Mm. Quite a few got knocked down. Quite a few of us got knocked down. But they did actually take the Wellingtons out, I believe. I wasn't there. Mm. And we had these fighter bombers. You know, the Spit had got cannons, and the Hurricanes were carrying bombs and things like that. Mm. And the Yanks were there with fighter bombers. Mm. So they disposed of the Wellington to some extent. I think they still were there even when I left.
What other targets did you attack on the operations?
With 202, we sank quite a big ship. I had a lovely time with that because I could machine gun it all across, and chaps were going overboard.
What sort of ship was it?
Pardon?
What sort of ship was it?
Oh, it was a cargo for coming over from supply. Where did they come from now? Where the Germans were to begin with. This is what the boys in Malta were after.
So it was convoys from Italy?
Yeah, mm. Italy. Mm. Right. I was just trying to visualise where it was. Yes, that was one, but I did quite a bit of bombing of the German army, really. Mm. Occupied on that quite a lot.
Was that usually daylight raids?
Oh, they were daylight.
All daylight.
Oh, yes. Mm. I didn't do any night stuff at all in the Middle East. Mm. And you'll have to appreciate, I wasn't attached to a squadron permanently.
No, you were.
I was just
reserve.
Picked up.
Yes.
Will Johnson, well, a truck used to arrive. Go on, we lost a gunner, you know. Can you do it, sort of thing. It was a bit haphazard, but that was it. I filled in the holes.
Did you find that unsettling?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'd rather have been with the crew. Yeah. And done everything together. Yes, so I had to alter my ideas or listen to what was necessary from different skippers, which was
Did every skipper have his own idea of how to do things? Were they individualists?
No, you only had the idea that when you got in the turret, what you'd do, you've got the same guns and the same ammunition and same seating appliance, that you knew what you were going to do and get yourself reasonably comfortable and see that the guns were loaded and see that everything was in order. Mm. That was all actually done by the armourers quite a lot. I knew actually when I got in the aircraft, just to have a look at it, I thought, oh, the armourer's done it, you know, right. Mm. And the armourer would be there anyway, and be seeing you off and say, get back safely.
Was there anything particular about flying conditions in the Middle East to distinguish them from Europe?
Very bad with the sun, and very bad because it got very cold at night. Your rest was not as much. You didn't get as much sleep. Sandstorms I met once or twice. I even met the damn things that eat everything. Flies. What the damn are these things that eat, chew everything up in front of them?
Locusts.
Look, that's it. I even saw one of those lot. Frightening they are. Oh, God, they are. Yes. Look, on the ground, I was a bit fortunate because one of the squadrons was on the Suez. And they had better supplies. That they got more food and water and stuff. It was better. But it wasn't nice. It was better here, as it happened. The climate was... I didn't like the climate. It was too hot or too cold, one or the other. And your turret, the guns and that sort of thing, and your turret got red hot.
you went, whoosh, crikey, put your gloves on and do that to protect you from the heat, from burning. There was that uncomfortable, yes, you were uncomfortable, that's probably the word.
And you'd had malaria. Did they manage to cure the malaria, or did
no.
you have it coming back?
3 years ago, I got rid of it.